Looking to pick up the next home run king?
High drive left field. Going back. Boom. Stand. Baby.
Or are you still trying to figure out who some of your guys are?
Paul Goldschmidt, and that ball is gone. Oh, wow. Upper deck.
Whether you're sifting through the waiver wire for sleepers or just trying to keep your team in the race.
He went onto the rolled up tarp. What a play by Nolan Arenado.
We've got your bases covered.
At the wall, leaping. Oh, a play! George Springer has just kept this game tied in the bottom of the 10th.
It's the Can of Corn Cast with Andy Greenberg on ArizonaSports.com.
My, oh my!
Hello, everybody. Welcome in once again to the Can of Corn Cast. I'm Andy Greenberg, your intrepid host with the most fantasy baseball information. As many of you know, a can of corn is an easy fly ball, and we here at the Can of Corn Cast make it easy for you to win at fantasy baseball. As always, we've got the starting five coming up, plus a little bit later we'll check out the hottest hitters and pitchers. I guess that's also part of the starting five. We'll take a dip in the free agent pool and then check out who is waiting in the on-deck circle. Plus, got a big blog this week talking about one of the newer Diamondbacks. Guy's spending his first year with the Snakes, having a great year, and probably should be on your fantasy team. We'll get to that in just a moment, but first, as always, we begin with the starting five.
The starting five.
And going to do it a little bit different this week. Instead of doing the top five overall hitters and top five overall pitchers, just going to shrink it down. Top five overall players, plus still going with the top five hottest hitters and hottest pitchers in the last 2 weeks. I wanted to shrink it down a little bit because once we get to this point in the season, the rankings for the top five, it doesn't really change a whole lot. You've got guys, and you know the guys that are going to be there, so wanted to shrink it down because we've got three hitters and two pitchers on this list. And we start, as we have every week for feels like the entire season, but it hasn't been. It's really just been since mid-May. Number one, Paul Goldschmidt, hitting .332. He is just one stolen base away from a 2020 season. That's something only five players did last year. Todd Frazier, Brian Dozier, Michael Brantley, Ian Desmond, and Carlos Gomez. Nobody's there yet this season. Goldie by far and away the closest. And I expect Justin Upton, Ryan Braun, and Manny Machado to hit this feat as well. If Goldie gets 11 more steals and 8 more homers, he'll be the first 30-30 player since Mike Trout in 2012. I don't doubt his ability to get 8 home runs in just about 2 months. The 11 stolen bases might be a little more difficult. I bet he finishes with something like 26 or 7, which still, for a guy that can hit 30 homers and steal 26 bases, yeah, really good. Moving on, number two, Mike Trout. He is on the list as well, at 30-30 list, of course. Not going to hit the 2020 this year. He doesn't have enough stolen bases. I just don't see it happening. Although his steals have gone up a bit more. He's got 10 right now, but that's still pretty low for him. 33 homers, does lead the league. Third in OPS, just .004 points behind Goldie. Well behind that of Bryce Harper. We'll hear from him soon. Trout, 78 runs. That's second in the American League, tied with Dozier. And that's behind Josh Donaldson. And 69 RBIs, nothing to scoff at, but does put him outside the MLB top 10. Number three on the top five overall players in fantasy baseball so far for 2015, it's Zach Greinke. And with the season he's having, he should be number one. I mean, this is ridiculous. Nobody's having a better season than him because it's almost impossible in this day and age. His ERA climbed somewhat significantly, but still by far and away the leader at 1.71. Yeah, in August, 1.71. It was in the 1.3s earlier, so watch out, everybody. Greinke's slipping a little bit. Sort of. He's the only player with 19 quality starts. He has 20. He has 136 Ks and 152 innings. That's not so bad. Since 1990, only two starting pitchers have ever finished a season with a sub-2 ERA. Roger Clemens finished at 193 in 1990 and Pedro Martinez at 174 in 2000. So if he stays below that Pedro mark of 174, he will be the first pitcher since Louis Tiant in 1968 to have an ERA below 1.74. Ron Guidry also had the 174 in 1978. Tiant in 1968, put up a 1.6 ERA. Number four on the list of top five players, it's Max Scherzer, living in Greinke's shadow all season, except the day he threw his no-hitter. Scherzer will surely hit 200 Ks this season. He currently sits at 181 in 156 innings. 2.31 ERA, very impressive, and will look a heck of a lot better if it wasn't for Greinke's 171, Sonny Gray's 206, or Jacob DeGrom's 213. Scherzer number one by a fair margin in the strikeout-to-walk ratio among qualified starters, 8.23. So for those who don't really know about the strikeout-to-walk ratio, there we go, Scherzer surely is hitting his strikeout-to-walk ratios. See, I can do it. Number one, like I said, and that means that for every 8.23 strikeouts he gets, he walks one batter. That is really, really good. That means that he can go a game probably without walking anybody, which does tend to happen. All right, number five, teased him a little bit earlier, it's Bryce Harper. All-around excellent season for the youngster. Average number one, 337. OPS by far number one at 1.29. Or rather, 1.129. Goldie, 1.017. Trout, the .004 behind him, 1.013. So again, Bryce Harper, a 1.129 OPS. A full .1 and change over Goldie. Doesn't lead the NL in any of the other major compiled stats, though he's in the top 10 for all three run-scoring categories with 76 runs, 29 homers, and 69 RBIs. We move on to the hottest players in the game with the starting five. I've got your hitters right here. Number one, best in the last 2 weeks, it's Carlos Gonzalez. 7 homers, 19 RBIs, hitting .383 with 13 runs. I want to focus on number two here, though. Nelson Cruz is on an 18-game hitting streak that started in July 21st. Since then, he's raised his average from .300 to .325. He never let it dip below .300. Just hit that right on the nose, and since then, up 25 points with an 18-game hit streak. He's homered 11 times, including 5 straight games and 6 games of 7 recently. In the last 2 weeks, he is ranked number 2. 8 of those homers have come in the last fortnight, 11 of the runs, and 11 RBIs. And in that span of the last 2 weeks, he's hitting .421. Number 3 on the list, he is in the top 5 overall hitters. Nelson Cruz was number 5. Josh Donaldson here is number 4. He's also the third hottest hitter of the last 2 weeks. 7 homers, 16 RBIs, and 12 runs. On to number 4, it's Chris Davis. Much like Carlos Gonzalez, he has 19 RBIs in the last 14 days. Unreal. 6 homers, 11 runs. And number 5, David Ortiz, dismal start to the season, finally coming around. 6 homers, 18 ribbies, 11 runs in the last 2 weeks. On the mound, hottest pitcher so far, got 4 starters, 1 reliever for you on this list. Sonny Gray, 3 quality starts, 21 strikeouts in 25 innings, only 2 earned runs and 5 walks. Carlos Carrasco, a pair of quality starts in 18 innings, 14 strikeouts, and a minuscule .5 ERA. That means in his 18 innings, he's given up 1 run. Sean Tolleson, here's the reliever on the list. 8 innings, 3 saves, 14 strikeouts in the last 2 weeks. Pitched 2 scoreless yesterday and got the win over Seattle yesterday, being Saturday, August 8th. R.A. Dickey looking like C.Y. Dickey again. Yeah, because he did win a Cy Young, if you remember, for the Mets. 3 quality starts, 13 strikeouts in 22 innings pitched. Just 2 earned runs for the knuckleballer in the last 2 weeks. And number 5, Matt Harvey absolutely dominated the Marlins this week. Picked up his 2nd quality start, 15 strikeouts and 14 and 2/3 innings. But the best part about this from Harvey, 0 walked batters. None in the last 2 weeks. And I don't know if you happened to catch that Marlins-Mets game, but we almost saw one of the greatest comebacks in baseball history, and we were oh so close. They pulled Harvey out of the game. He hadn't given up any runs to the Marlins. He went 7 innings. The 9th inning, the Mets bullpen just exploded, and just could not get a batter out. And they kept giving up run after run, and soon it was 8-4, and then 8-5, and then 8-6. 2 outs, runners on the corners for Christian Yelich, and he hit it right to the first baseman. Could have had the walk-off homer. If Yelich hit that walk-off homer, that would have been the biggest comeback since the Indians come back over the Mariners back in 2001. If they would have pulled that off, it would have been 9 runs in the bottom of the ninth to win it 9-8, and that would have been absolutely incredible. But Matt Harvey got the win there because the bullpen managed to close it out without giving up that lead. All right, it's Arizona. It's the summer. Everybody's hot and tired, so we're going to take a jump into the free agent pool. Swimming around in the shallow end, this really isn't quite a shallow end player, just strictly based on the ownership percentage right now. Is when I looked it up today, Sunday the 9th, 47% owned. However, according to Yahoo Sports, it is up 25% in the last 24 hours, so he belongs in this category. I talked a little bit about him last week in the On Deck Circle. Didn't disappoint. New York Yankees rookie starting pitcher Luis Severino debuted against Boston, 5 scoreless innings, struck out 7, didn't walk a batter, and allowed just 1 run. Yankees lost the game, though, 2-1, didn't get the win, and because he only went 5 innings, he didn't get the quality start, but this is absolutely a guy you should be targeting on the waiver wire. We'll see him again in Cleveland on Tuesday, August 11th. If he is available in your league, pick him up now. You've probably got a pitcher spot you've kind of been rotating around for a while this year, or maybe somebody you're not so sure of anymore. Go get Luis Severino. The aforementioned R.A. Dickey is swimming around in this free agent pool, the swimming around range being 26 to 50%, shallow end range, of course, 51 and on. Swimming around this week, it's R.A. Dickey. He's found his form again. The improvements to the offense and defense around him have been huge, again, with Troy Tulowitzki. They got Ben Revere as well, and I feel like I'm missing somebody. Who else? The Blue Jays just got Cliff Pennington, too. They've been making a lot of moves, those Toronto Blue Jays, trying to bring guys in and out, and they've been damn good with Tulo at shortstop. Oh, boy, let me tell you. So R.A. Dickey gets the benefits of that, the offense and the offense with Tulo, and defense, too, and especially defense with Ben Revere around him. Since the start of June, R.A. Dickey has had 13 starts. Only one of them he has given up more than three earned runs. 8 of them he's had 2 earned runs or less. And don't let that 6-10 record scare you, especially if you're in a league that counts quality starts over wins. Because while he's 3-1 in his last 6 starts, all 6 of them have been quality. R.A. Dickey, getting it back. He's got a lot of great people around him, too, so he's definitely a good pickup. It doesn't matter if your wins or quality starts, but if your quality starts, he should be on your team. The deep end player, he's 2% owned. I've got him in the on-deck circle, so I kind of did a double time on him. A little extra write-up on this guy, so we'll get to him in just a moment. And so we'll check out right center field and the Chase Field pool. 24% owned. If you're looking at the season as a whole, he's ranked as the 13th overall catcher. That's not terrible at all because there's a lot of great names below him, although some of them are down there just because they missed a lot of the season due to injury. But since arriving in Arizona in the Mark Trumbo trade, Wellington Castillo has been one of the league's best hitting catchers. In the past month, only Buster Posey and Kyle Schwarber, that's the Cubs rookie, have better numbers at the plate. Beef Wellington, or Beef Mode, as they call him at Chase Field, exploded onto the D-back scene after being traded by the Mariners. And he easily assumed that starting catcher role in Arizona. I remember talking with the Arizona Sports Saturday guys, Jordan Bird, Adam Green, that we couldn't believe that Tuffy Gozowich was going to be the biggest, most meaningful loss for the Diamondbacks. That behind Goldie, the worst person to lose was Tuffy Gozowich. And Wellington Castillo came in and made everybody forget about Tuffy. Yeah, you probably did until I brought this up. Beef Wellington, looking great. In the last 30 days, he is the third-ranked catcher. Yeah, like I said, behind Posey, behind Schwarber. He's hitting .299, 7 homers, 11 RBIs, and 12 runs with a 1.047 OPS. That is tops on the team in that span. Yes, in the last 30 days, Wellington Castillo has a better OPS than both All-Stars, A.J. Pollock, Paul Goldschmidt, by far. So if you've been writing, say, Yadier Molina, Jason Castro, or Jonathan Lucroy all season, probably a good idea to go make a move for Wellington Castillo. As promised, we hit the on-deck circle. This guy I had in my deep end, he is 2% owned. He's a first baseman. I know, first base, very deep position this year. But if you would call your league very competitive, or at the least, yeah, it's pretty competitive, then you may want to find a way to get this guy on your roster. I did. I just dropped a struggling Yasmani Tomas for him. So far, been pretty good. Now, I got to say, I know at the beginning of the year, I was hyped on Tomas. I told everybody to go pick him up numerous times. But sometimes you got to admit you're wrong. And Tomas is just not putting together the power numbers that you're looking for in somebody to play in that utility position. He's just not putting it together anymore. It's like Jose Abreu last year. I think he had, what, like 25 homers at the All-Star break and then hit like six after? People are figuring him out. We're starting to see pitchers forcing Tomas to make adjustments, and it's just not happening. So, go and get this guy. Seattle Mariner Jesus Montero had a quick stint with the M's earlier and was quite impressive, so it was kind of a surprise when they sent them back to AAA. And his excellent performance got a great tweet, or series of tweets, I should say, from current Tacoma Rainier Justin Ruggiano, who the Mariners picked up in the offseason. They DFA'd him, and he said, you know what, I'll go to AAA, so he never left the team. And he tweets from Justin Ruggiano, again, outfielder for the Tacoma Rainiers. I've seen quite a few hitters in my career, but none are as polished as Jesus Montero looks right now. He has a plan, and he executes it daily. I'm glad I was able to witness his turnaround and see his work daily. Please take my tweets as nothing more than a brag on Montero and not to stir the pot in any way. He has been impressive in my month down here. And you can't blame Ruggiano for saying it. Montero has definitely found the major league swing that he had so been missing in the last few years. Right now, hitting .324 with the Mariners. That's a short span, 12 of 37. He's got one homer, seven RBIs, four runs. .889 OPS, not so bad. Since returning to the Mariners on July 31st, he's reached base in all six of his starts, doing a great job of keeping his strikeouts down. And Seattle's always been intrigued by his potential. And after a very poor 2014, where he played overweight in AAA for pretty much all of the season, he showed up thinner, prepared for 2015, and had shown big time with his bat. In his time in the minors, in 93 games, he hit .346. That's just 1 point shy of the tie for AAA lead. That leads the PCL, though. International League is where the leader for AAA is. 16 homers, 75 RBIs. But the biggest surprise, and this is especially to Mariners fans, and I guess you could say Yankees fans, who know Montero well, as the Yankees did trade him to the Mariners for Michael Pineda a few years ago. In AAA, Jesus Montero hit six triples. Jesus Montero hit six triples. I'll let that sink in. Take a moment. MILB.com. Search Jesus Montero. Click on him. Check the stats. Yep, six triples. That's a surprise. I would not expect that in the majors just yet. Safeco Field could be a pretty good triples park. But if you're looking deep into the waiver wire, you're trying to outwit your competition, you're looking for that golden ticket, you want to say, oh, you went and picked up Tomas, he's hitting .230 over the last month, I got Jesus Montero, who's hitting a heck of a lot better than that. Yeah. If you want to outwit, if you want that golden ticket, go pick up Jesus Montero. In the on-deck circle in the minor leagues, 1% owned. I don't expect anybody to own him right now. You could stash him in your NA spot if you want to. Instead of this guy, when the Diamondbacks traded away Oliver Perez and Cliff Pennington, they decided to call up Jamie Romack. And while it's nice to see a 29-year-old career minor leaguer make it to the bigs, I got to say, Romack did deserve it with a very high batting average in the .340s. I think that they should have brought up Peter O'Brien instead. I know a lot of fans have been clamoring for that, and who knows? Maybe they're waiting until September. They do that September call-up when the rosters expand for O'Brien, so they want to wait until that point. Currently listed as a catcher in Yahoo Leagues, though he's only played 11 of his 105 games in AAA this year behind the dish, split a majority of them in the corner outfield positions, 39 each to be exact. Three games at first base, but I'd only expect him to play the outfield once he's called up and maybe be an emergency catcher. That's if he's called up. Diamondbacks, they don't exactly need outfield help unless they have an injury, so it could be, like I said, that he's in AAA until September or maybe even just the last week or two of the season because they want to get him some at-bats against some major league pitching. Peter O'Brien, his numbers, he's going to be a big power hitter, that's for sure. 274 average, pretty good. 20 homers, great. 25 doubles, yeah. 79 RBIs, absolutely. 62 runs, but he struck out 100 times. That's a lot of strikeouts for a power hitter, but that's kind of what we see with power hitters as they come up. They strike out a lot, and then eventually that kind of goes down. So I did a little research. So far this year, 28 players in the majors have struck out 100 times. Four of them have walked less than 25 times. Like I said, O'Brien at the end of that spectrum, the bottom of it, I should say, 24 walks with 100 strikeouts. But here's the good thing. He's hitting 274. Out of those 28 major league players who have struck out 100 times this year, only four of them are hitting above 275, and only seven of them have more than 20 homers. So while his walk numbers are not that great, the average and the home run numbers are. And I think eventually we're going to see power-hitting Peter O'Brien playing the outfield for the Diamondbacks. This is another situation where Arizona wishes that they were in the American League so they could utilize the designated hitter. I have a feeling we're going to see a fair amount of player movement from this team in the offseason to make room for Peter O'Brien. Lots of Ks. Not a bad thing if you can put up those power numbers. And O'Brien definitely has. And that crumpling paper sound means that we have come to the end of the show. I'd like to thank you very much for listening to me on the Can of Corncast. You can find me on Facebook. Just search Can of Corncast, Andy Greenberg. There it is. You can find me on Twitter at Can of Corn 98.7. That's because we're associated here with Arizona Sports 98.7 FM. You can find my blog on their website, arizonasports.com. I write much more about Beef Wellington. Every time I say that, every time, and I'm going to go on a big non sequitur here. When I was a little kid, there was a show I liked called The Brack Show. It was on Adult Swim about this goofy alien dude named Brack, a spinoff of a spinoff of a spinoff of Space Ghost. And in one of the episodes, they talk about this restaurant called Lord Wellington's Beef Trapeze. And I feel like that's what I want to call Wellington Castillo every time I see him. Lord Wellington's Beef Trapeze. I mean, Beef Wellington is pretty good, too. So, anyways, after that nonsensical rant, here we go. This is the end of the show. Thank you so much for listening. Rate, review, and subscribe. Find me on the podcast app. Download it from iTunes. Download it from Arizona Sports. And remember, rate my podcast. Review it. Tell me how I'm doing. Subscribe so that every time I post a new one, it downloads automatically to your phone and you get your weekly fix of fantasy baseball. How about that? Thanks again for listening. I've been Andy Greenberg and always will be. And until next time, let's play ball!
The Can of Corncast is brought to you by ArizonaSports.com and 98.7 FM.
Hey, Lloyd, do some delivery for the truck to the airport.
Thank you very much.